We're now going to welcome Ronnie Cummins, who is the International Director of the Organic Consumers Association, joining us from, I'm going to guess, Mexico. But you can tell us where you are, Ronnie. And when you do that, why don't you just say a word or two about the Organic Consumers Association for those few people who probably haven't encountered you on our program or that organization to date.
Well, hello. Good to be with you today. Yeah, I'm talking to you from Finland, Minnesota, Northeast Minnesota. This is one of our offices up here. Organic Consumers Association, you know, we formed about 23 years ago to promote organics and fair trade and to keep organic standards high and raise them if possible. And we've grown over the decades into a large, several million network nationwide on the internet and social media. And so we're currently dealing with all the issues at hand. And I wrote a book earlier this year called Grassroots Rising, which talks about the climate crisis being the relationship between the climate crisis and us solving the crisis by changing our food and farming and land use system.
Grassroots Rising. Love it. Ronnie, we asked you to join us today specifically because we have this major election coming up on November 3rd, and the organic community is a force to be reckoned with. At the flip of a switch, hundreds of thousands of people get right on it and weigh in on issues of organic policy that are being formulated at the national level. So I think it's important that maybe we check in with you to see what issues you think are part of this mix that's coming at us, this huge possible change of direction of the governance of our country. But in either case, what things are the organic community grappling with now, and what will we have to confront after the election?
Well, I think a couple of things that have been pretty amazing the last 6 months are that since the pandemic, organic sales have grown substantially in the U.S. and across the world. And so has the demand for meat and animal products that are grass-fed or pastured as opposed to the factory farm, giant slaughterhouse meats and animal products. So on the one hand, it's good to see the public thinking more about their health. It's good to see people thinking more about their diets. It's good to see what happens when people stop eating out so much in restaurants and relearn how to cook at home. And I think all these trends can be positive. Of course, we're also facing a realization that institutional racism and climate injustice, environmental injustice, are still with us stronger than ever, and that we've got to deal with this simultaneously. It's not enough for the organic community to congratulate ourselves that people are becoming more health conscious and that we've got $50 to $100 billion industry that we've helped develop, because economic injustice is still there. And the reason why people of color and low-income people are dying at much higher rates and getting seriously ill at much higher rates, not only from COVID-19, but from chronic disease in general in the United States, is partly because they do not have access nor the economic means to be able to afford this organic food and grass-fed meat and animal products that people, you know, understand now are healthier. So we've got to deal with our public health crisis. We've got to deal with the institutional racism and economic injustice that are endemic. And then we've got, on top of all this, a political crisis. I mean, one question I ask myself is, like, when are we going to have someone running for president who actually talks about the need for organic and regenerative agriculture? You know, when are we going to see someone discussed in the mass media for future U.S. Secretary of Agriculture who isn't just one more of the same? One case in point recently has been the media buzz about Biden is looking at potential Secretary of Agriculture appointees after the election. And Heidi Heitkamp from North Dakota pops up. And, I mean, didn't I remember Trump, you know, wanting to choose her as Secretary of Agriculture when he first got in there? Well, yes, it's true. And haven't I noticed that Heidi Heitkamp gets more money from corporate agribusiness and biotechnology companies than any other member of Congress. You know, haven't I noticed that Heidi Heitkamp led the charge to not have labels on GMO food and so on? And so one thing that we are discussing in the organic food and farming community right now is we have to get the ear of the winner in the November elections and point out that we're not going to accept just another corporate agribusiness heck for USDA Secretary of Agriculture. I mean, we're tired of fighting battles every year, every 6 months to maintain organic standards as, you know, the special interest, big food, big ag, try to degrade the standards. Why don't we have an organic farmer as the new Secretary of Agriculture, or at least an advocate for organic farming? That's a question we're going to be asking more and more as time goes on. The other thing that I think is important to realize is, like, Biden is leading in the polls pretty much across the board, except one place, and that's rural America. Now, only 14% of us live in rural America, and maybe urban, suburban people think it's of little consequence how we vote or not. But the latest polls show that Trump has 50% of the vote in rural America, whereas Biden has 33%. So you might ask yourself, well, why is this the case? And how is it possible that Trump carried almost all of rural America in 2016? Well, I think the answer to this is that people in rural America, they don't see much of a difference between the Democratic and the Republican parties when it comes to policies that directly impact them. Food and farming and support for reducing poverty in rural America. You know, what about opportunities for our kids in rural America, most of whom have to leave after high school because there aren't any jobs? What about our failing infrastructure? What about, you know, the fact that most of the members of Congress and many of the state legislators are totally illiterate when it comes to issues of food, farming, diet, economic development, and so on? So I think it's probably too late for Biden to change his image that he has in rural America. He's going to lose rural America. But the Democrats should learn a lesson from this, which is that you don't get the support of rural America by going along with business as usual. I mean, yeah, billions of dollars of subsidies every year to corporate agribusiness and junk food, that's what we've come to expect from Washington. But we need a change. And briefly, we saw some candidates, Bernie Sanders, Tim Ryan, Booker from New Jersey, talking about food and farming in a way that we had never heard before. We saw plans coming out for a robust Green New Deal that would include a transformation of our food and farming system that would really inject hope and prosperity into rural America. But now that the mainstream Democrats have retained control, we've got the same thing being said basically by both political parties. So we believe a day of reckoning has come. We can't ignore food and farming and its connection to climate, food and farming, its connection to public health. I mean, when you look at the fact that, like the New York Times said over the last couple of days, 77% of the people being hospitalized or dying from COVID-19 are obese, are seriously obese. Now, we all know why this is the case. You know, how come people, there's 12 times as many people obese as there were 60 years ago? This is not that we've had some genetic transformation in Americans being born. This is the fact that we're eating on a regular basis junk food. And why are we eating this junk food? Well, it's addictive, it's cheap, it's everywhere, but also because it is, you know, the alternatives are unavailable to people who are struggling to make a living. Like, if you got $20 in your wallet and you don't get paid till tomorrow and you got to feed your family of four today, are you going to go out and buy $20 worth of organic vegetables at the market? Or are you going to, the ordinary consumer is going to go to McDonald's for $12 and feed the four members of your family? This is ridiculous. The hidden costs of junk food and junk beverages and pesticide damage are enormous. But the food companies and big ag companies, they don't have to pay for the damage they're doing. We pay for it as a society. We pay for it as consumers. So I'm very confident that we're going to raise hell after the election, and we're going to have a bigger impact on public policy than we've ever seen. And I don't think people are going to go back to the, quote, normal, you know, 60% of Americans having chronic disease and 40% of Americans having multiple chronic diseases. I think people are starting to realize we got to get back control of our diets, our health, and that means our food and farming system. And that doesn't mean your consumer choices in the marketplace. We got to change policies. We got to change investment. We got to change the outlook of people throughout the society. And I think we can do this, but it's going to take an enormous effort.
We're speaking with Ronnie Cummins. He's the International Director of the Organic Consumers Association. Ronnie, that was powerful stuff. You really have the gift of being able to keep us riveted with that kind of information and that kind of advocacy. I had no desire to break in on that narrative. You mentioned we're going to raise hell after the election. I presume you mean your membership at the Organic Consumers Association. What kind of intersection or communication has there been between Black Lives Matter, the advocates for the Green New Deal, and the organic community in terms of parlaying these different advocates and very powerful activism and activists, rolling them into one movement that could actually maybe be on the streets if necessary, but definitely lobbying for the kinds of changes you're talking about?
Well, I think one exciting thing is that the climate emergency has gotten people to really think now. And Black Lives Matter have reminded us that the climate crisis comes down hardest on communities of color and low-income people all over the world, the frontline people. But I also see an understanding that I've never seen before at this level. The climate community is starting to recognize that food and farming are a major part of us solving the climate crisis. We not only have to move to alternative energy and radical energy conservation in a just, equitable manner, but we have to sequester enormous amounts of carbon from the atmosphere through regenerative food and farming. And I think we're seeing that. I think that the COVID-19, Black Lives Matter, the climate crisis are converging together, and that our various movements, which operated up until this year, too much in isolation from one another, food and farming, justice and public health and climate, is that we're going to start to work together more closely. Now, we're going to go into a tumultuous period here now before the election and after the election. I have no doubt that Biden is either going to win or the Trump and the Republicans are going to try to steal it. I don't know if they'll be able to. I don't think they will be able to in the way the election was stolen in the year 2000 and the year 2004. But whoever comes out on top is going to need to be pressured and pressured heavily. And I think Biden and Harris are, even though they're talking vacuous talk, they sound exactly like other mainstream politicians, I do think they can be moved. And that's why I have told my friends, you know, hold your nose and vote for Biden. But the day after the election or whenever the smoke clears, we need to force these people in Washington to listen to the people, rural America people and urban America people, and get things right, because we're running out of time.
Ronnie, it's been fantastic, as usual, to have you on the show. We shouldn't let too much time go by before you come back and talk to us again. So thank you so much for joining us. Ronnie Cummins is the International Director of the Organic Consumers Association.